The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. What a show we've put together for you this afternoon. We started a bit of a wildfire, apparently, a couple of days ago on The Big Show, when we talked to a restaurant owner down in Chehalis. I'll have an update on that in just a few minutes here, and the restaurant owner will talk to me at 12:30 this afternoon about the craziness that has ensued with customers and with the state of Washington going after him. So I will get to all of this. But man, there is some huge news that for some reason is not getting reported locally until now. Let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
The New York Times touched on this a couple of days ago. When did coronavirus first come to Washington State? It is believed that the answer is late January, right? That's when we had the first confirmed case. No, we now know that coronavirus was here as early as November of 2019. And our public officials did nothing while this was happening. This was brought to light. Tucker Carlson had it on his show last night. And I was thinking, why is this the first I or anyone else has heard of this? And I went online to check it out, see if it's true. And yeah, the New York Times touched on it, but I haven't seen anybody in the local media picking up on this. Here is what was revealed last night about coronavirus being here months earlier than previously believed.
The latest evidence comes from samples collected during Red Cross blood drives last year and now analyzed by the Centers for Disease Control. In a study published on Monday, researchers tested 39 blood samples from the states of California, Washington, and Oregon. That blood was collected between December 13th and December 16th, 2019. At the time, no one in the United States had heard of COVID-19. The Chinese government didn't even acknowledge its existence until December 31st. And yet every one of those samples just tested has come back positive for the coronavirus antibodies. All of them.
Okay, and a quick correction to what Tucker Carlson said. It wasn't all of the samples. It wasn't 100% that tested positive. It was 9% of those samples. But still, in blood drawn by the Red Cross between December 13th and 19th of last year, 9% of those samples, and that's a staggering percentage, before it had gathered any steam, any momentum whatsoever. 9% of the samples here in Washington came back positive for coronavirus. And Nicole, I thought about you when I first heard this revealed, because you have sworn that you think you had it in November of last year, and everybody said, "Now you're crazy, it didn't come to America until January." But you told me at the time that that was the sickest you've ever been.
That was the sickest, like the worst cough, congested illness that I have ever had. And it lasted for weeks. And I mean, my roommate will attest to, I mean, my cough was constant all night,
all
day.
I'll attest to it.
Yeah, you could attest to it. I had to leave the studio coughing all the time. And then I ended up getting tested for bronchitis. They tried to see if I had pneumonia. And then finally, I was going to Disneyland with my family and I was going to stay at a hotel. And I said I couldn't go on vacation with this cough and keep people up all night coughing at a hotel. And so they finally put me on a steroid at the very end of November. And that finally helped get rid of my cough.
And I remember you talked about that once on the show when Wyman was in the studio with us. Dave Wyman swears, he swears that he and his wife had it in November because it was the sickest that they had ever been. And everyone said, no, it didn't come to America until late January. But now we have evidence. And because that blood in the report that the CDC just released, the blood was drawn between December 13th and 19th. The 9% had the antibodies, and it takes a week or two to develop the antibodies after you catch the coronavirus. And so pushing it into November as a time when people were sick with it is now entirely possible, which means, because you worked through the whole thing.
I did.
Which means I was exposed to it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. In the studio with me. Yeah, absolutely. You were exposed. And so maybe you're an asymptomatic person and you're carrying around the antibody and you're good to go.
That's what I'm wondering now. I want to get tested or retested because I asked them to test my blood for the antibodies a few months ago. But yeah, if I was around you, if you indeed did have it, I think you should get tested to see if you have the antibodies.
Yes, I want to. I should.
Yeah.
Although they say that I've heard different things about the antibody test too, because it all, like, maybe it, I don't know if it's not good enough to test and see them later, but still your body would be fighting it. But sometimes you only test for so long. I don't know. I think I'm not really convinced that the tests are that accurate later.
But. Well, they're confusing, too, because I asked them a few months ago, because I get blood tests every 3 months or so, and I asked them to test for the antibodies, and the written report said it suggested I had the antibodies, but then when I talked to the doctor, they said, no, there's no evidence that you have the antibodies, and I'm thinking, well, if I got it back in November of last year, I don't know how reliable that would be.
Right.
So anyway, I thought about you as soon as I heard this story, because we now know that COVID was in America. And again,
I wish I knew.
This came out a few days ago. This is a huge story. We're the first people locally to be talking about this. But there's also another huge part of this story, and it is the failure of your elected leaders in the state to do anything about it. The White House, the administration, had a coronavirus briefing for the entire U.S. Senate on January 24th. So this would have been a couple months after people in our state had the coronavirus. On January 24th, they gave a briefing to the entire United States Senate. Of the 100 senators, only 14 even bothered to show up at that White House briefing. And so what I did, and I'll give you exactly how I prepped for the show. When I heard this, I was curious. So what were Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell doing when the White House was giving senators access to information? I believe Murray was one of the 14 who was at this White House presentation, because she's the chair of a Senate Health Committee. I can find no evidence that Maria Cantwell was at that hearing. And again, there's a couple months after we find out that coronavirus was in our state. So what I did late last night, after I found out this news, I went to the C-SPAN website, which tends to have, you know, the most interviews with public officials, with elected leaders. And they have a good search function. And you can try this yourself. But I just entered into the C-SPAN search function, January 2020, Patty Murray, coronavirus. Zero hits. January 2020, Maria Cantwell, coronavirus. Zero hits. Now, Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell were talking in January of this year, just not about coronavirus. What were they talking about? Patty Murray?
I think it's important to take a minute and step back and look at the pivotal moment that we are now in. House managers provided an ironclad case. It was thorough. It was driven by the facts, and it was very compelling.
Is she talking about this coronavirus that's going to kill a couple hundred thousand Americans? Is that what she's talking about here? That would show some great foresight by Patty Murray.
And it painted a very chilling picture of something our founding fathers deeply feared. A president who demanded taxpayer dollars be held from a critical ally until he persuaded that ally to interfere in our upcoming election to benefit his campaign.
Oh.
Who put his interests ahead of Americans' interests.
Patty Murray was just talking about impeachment. That was what your elected leaders were caring about as coronavirus had been languishing in our state, beginning its acceleration 2 months earlier. But all they cared about was the impeachment of the president.
And tried to cover it up by blocking Congress from conducting oversight of the executive.
How about Maria Cantwell? Again, January 2020, Maria Cantwell, coronavirus, zero hits. Maria Cantwell. Here's what I found on my C-SPAN search.
Election interference is the issue of our day. It's not because we just spent 11 days talking about it and what might have happened in the Oval Office about interference in the upcoming 2020 election.
I mean, it's like they're reading from the same script. So with now evidence that coronavirus was in Washington State in November of last year, after a January 24th White House administration briefing to the entire Senate about coronavirus, our senators weren't caring at all about this public health outbreak, about the dangers that we faced. All they cared about was impeachment, that exercise in futility that had zero chance of success in the Senate. But that's all that they were thinking about. It was all they cared about. Public health, public safety took a... It wasn't even in the back seat with Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell. It wasn't even in the same vehicle. They were all impeachment all the time. So this gives you an idea of how dangerous our local politicians are, because they were playing politics. And by the way, at that January 24th Senate briefing, Dr. Anthony Fauci said he saw no reason to restrict travel from China. The latest example, another example of Anthony Fauci being 100% wrong about the coronavirus. January 24th, he saw no reason. The president, in defiance of all these advisors and health experts, pandemic experts like Anthony Fauci, the president halted travel from China when the greatest pandemic expert in the country said there was no reason to do that. While our senators were playing their little political games, that's when coronavirus was starting to rage through this state. And so when you hear all of these people who are still trying to blame the president, just be aware that 86 senators didn't even bother to show up to a January 24th briefing. Anthony Fauci wanted to continue allowing people to travel here from China. And your senators, Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell, were playing their little political exercise in futility game because they didn't like an election that had occurred 3 years earlier. That's pretty dangerous when we have that kind of people, those kind of people, in power in our state. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
A couple of days ago, a restaurant owner down in Chehalis, Spiffy's Restaurant, right off 55 on Highway 12 going up to Yakima, he emailed me. And he's told me that he was going to stay open in defiance of the governor. Well, Rod Samuelson didn't know what he was getting into, because all of a sudden my listeners started flooding the parking lot at Spiffy's. They were there before they opened yesterday and today. L&I agents from the state of Washington came out yesterday and told Rod. Rod's 80 years old. He's run this restaurant for 50 years. And he told me that his employees need to feed their kids. And they need to, you know, they can't go on unemployment. Unemployment doesn't even answer its phone when you try to get hold of them. And he said, I got to keep my people working. He's a good man who's run a good business for a long time. And I saw that Q13 was down there. And guess who they ran into? Our show's super fan, Matt Gilbert, who drove down from West Seattle.
Staying open, defying the orders. So I thought, you know, they deserve some business for that. I appreciate what they're doing, and they're standing up for what they believe in. So I thought I'd make the trek and come and have me some breakfast.
Have me some breakfast. So now Rod has been given a order to shut down immediately by state L&I. They've threatened to take away his food service license. All heck is broken loose. And I told him that was going to happen. If he talked on this show, that Jay Inslee would try to punish him. And that's what's happening. But an awful lot of good people are trying to support him. I'm going to talk to Rod, get you an update, coming up next, right after we check the news. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
All right, we'll follow through with our exclusive coverage of Spiffy's restaurant. The owner, Rod Samuelson, is he going to close down now that the state has ordered him to? We'll get an update from him next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, a couple of days ago, I had a local businessman who emailed me. It's Rod Samuelson. He owns Spiffy's Restaurant and Bakery right off of I-5 on the way to Yakima on Highway 12 there. And he came on the show and told me that he was going to stay open in defiance of Governor Inslee's orders. And I guess all heck is broken loose since we talked a couple of days ago. Rod once again joins me here on the Dory Monson Show. Rod, what the heck is going on down there?
Well, the parking lot is completely full. The restaurant is completely full. I have a group of patriots outside here that have been here since I got here at 10 minutes to 7. We opened at 7. And they were there standing by the door already. I think they had been getting coffee. We had coffee for them. We just gave them cups of coffee to keep them warmer. But anyway, they have got a tent set up. There's some group selling Patriot type sweatshirts, T-shirts, and it is absolutely bedlam. I would not have ever dreamed that it would ever go to this.
I warned you about that when you came on my show, and I said, you know, you're going to get scrutiny from the government, and you're going to get a lot of people who are going to support you. And that's what I want to talk about the supporters in a minute. But I got a text during my show yesterday from one of your customers who said that the state government, L&I, showed up. Is that true?
That's correct. There were two young men that showed up, and the place was full. This was at 2:30. And they said that we had 2 hours. They told the waitress that we had 2 hours to close the place. And the waitress went and got the manager, and he came out. And then they, for some reason, didn't want to talk to the manager. We happen to have a district representative here, state representative from the 19th district. The freeway splits our districts here.
Okay.
We're in the 20th, and the 19th is across the road. But anyway, he was from the 19th, and he was eating lunch here. And so he went up and tried to talk to them. They would not talk to him for some reason. I don't know why. And then my manager, because they wouldn't talk to him, made an announcement to the whole restaurant, yelled out that the LNI was here and they want to shut us down. So a bunch of the men, I asked my manager, I says, well, how many stood up? And he says, oh, five, six people and men. And this one gentleman happened to be rather large, tall and big. And he told them in so many words that I won't repeat to leave. And now this is customers on their own. We didn't solicit this.
Right. No, I understand.
And the customers told them to leave, and they hightailed it and took off. About an hour later, I get a call. I was home at the time, and I got a call from the local health department, and they were threatening to, in a nice way, we had a good conversation. I don't mean they were real belligerent or anything, but
right.
They were talking about pulling my food license, and I had a long conversation with him and told him that, currently it's at the county level. It's quickly moving to the state level. And I said, we've already notified Tucker Carlson on Fox News. And I said, you're going to be famous, young man. And at that point, he got a little nervous. And he said, I'll call you back. He said, I better run this through my boss. And, KELA, our local radio.
Let me jump in on that, Rod, because you told me you've been in business there for 50 years. Coming up on January 1st, 50 years in business. You've been creating jobs. You've been paying taxes. You told me about how long your employees have been working there. What is it like to have the state of Washington threaten to shut you down because you're doing exactly what you've been doing for the last 49 and a half years?
Dory, I wish I had a good answer for that, but this thing is hitting so fast and so furious that, and beyond the level that I thought it was going to go to, that I really don't have any really intelligent answer for you. It's just overwhelming. I'm looking. I went out to my automobile here for a second, and when I talk to you, and I'm still in my car, and this parking lot is just jammed, and it's all conservative people. They're putting cult signs everywhere. There's American flags, it just dozens, and I even had to go and talk to one gentleman. He was carrying a rifle, and I went and said, this is not about that type of thing. So sure. And he was nice about it. I said, would you mind putting it in your car? And he did. And, it's a peaceful thing. And I don't want anybody to all of a sudden lose their temper. Sure.
I understand.
Get hurt or something
Why do you think this is inspiring such passion in your customers and people? And I know one of my faithful listeners, drove all the way from West Seattle yesterday to come down and patronize you. Why do you think, Rod, that you and Spiffy's restaurant are inspiring such passion in people today?
People are looking for a leader, and they're just happy that it happened to be a restaurant. They can come in and they have a meal. We could probably stay open all night, and it would be full all night. I don't know. But we have to finally shut the doors at 8 o'clock because the staff is so tired that they've just been running at a constant high-pitched pace all day. And they're so tired that because they can't endure it all any longer. And so anyway, the people are coming from everywhere, from Portland, from Seattle. There was a lady in here that came up and addressed me this morning, and she's from White Salmon. She said, I drove 2 hours to get here. She's all by herself with a 6-month-old baby.
Wow.
And, people are coming from everywhere. We're getting calls from all over. A restaurant that opened up in Linden. And I can talk about it because he said he's already been visited by LNI. I don't know the name of the restaurant. I've been so busy. I've been just taking real short notes here, but I got his phone number. I'll call him back later when I have a time. But anyway, he wants to form a group, to of restaurant owners to rally around everybody. And so anyway, it's just beyond my expectation of what's happening or what was going to happen. And it's just continuing to build every day.
Yeah. I understand. I think I would put just a slight twist on what you said. You said people are looking for a leader. My twist on that, Rod, is I think people are sick and tired of being told they are controlled by the government. And I'm not sure they're seeking a leader as much as they're just yearning for some freedom at a time when government says we will control every aspect of your life right now.
I should have added that to what I was thinking was they're looking for a leader to rally around to do that exact thing, what you just said, you know, but individually people, you know, they're frustrated. They can't, but they don't have any way of venting it by themselves. They could call Inslee's office and it wouldn't mean anything or name it your representative. They don't seem to do anything. The restaurant association is worthless. And, people are so frustrated with this thing, and the minute that somebody is willing to stand up and say, okay, enough is enough, they're more than happy to, you know, rally around that, and it just happened to be us.
Okay, you know, and I only have a few seconds. What happens if the state follows through and tries to pull your food license, tries to pull your business license?
Well, I'm gonna say no. And probably going to have to look for an attorney at this point. But, I'm getting calls from attorneys, constitutional attorneys and this type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't want to carry this thing to the point where it drags into a court or something. But I guess now that I've went this far, I can't say, oh, okay, it's over. You know,
right.
It's not about that anymore. My waitresses and all the help, they need this. The unemployment people are not responding. They're not paying these people.
Oh, I know.
They won't even answer their phone calls.
I know. I'm all over that aspect of the story. Okay. Well, Rod, it's a pleasure talking to you again. After you and I talked a couple of days ago, the number of people who contacted me about Spiffies and about you and your faith, you have a lot of people who love you and your business. And I heard from a lot of them after we talked a couple of days ago.
I'm getting calls from all over, as far away as Tennessee and California, that have listened to your program.
Well, so, that'll teach you to send me an email, Rod.
You have quite a following, my friend, I tell you.
Well, I'm glad you're part of it, and I wish you nothing but the best. And like I said a couple of days ago, let's stay in touch, okay?
All right. Thank you for your help, sir.
Okay, great talking with you. Rod Samuelson, you own Spiffy's restaurant down there right off of I-5 on the way to Yakima on Highway 12 there. So love to hear your thoughts. 98973 is the number to text me, 98973. Lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. As I talked about yesterday, while it's politicians who are trying to control your every move, people are controlling the politicians. Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. There are predictions that Bezos could become the world's first trillionaire. As his worth has gone over $100 billion now. Well, I mean, over almost $200 billion. And that's after a divorce, for crying out loud. I saw this. A friend sent this to me. It's a guy named JP. I don't know much about him. But he was playing the part of those elites who want to control you. And he gives you some insights why they love controlling us so much.
Whoever controls the media controls the population. And that's us. We're the elite. We control the media, and therefore, we control you. I can assure you, we, the elite, are not motivated by money. Even though there's just a few of us, and we own nearly all of it, we're not motivated by money. We wouldn't stoop to that level. Money's a poor man's currency.
That's a great line. Money's a poor man's currency. But then he explains.
Motivated by control, specifically by controlling people. If you thought it was a thrill to make a bunch of money, just wait until you have control over a bunch of actual people. It's way more thrilling. Like, you know how you love your family and how you do anything for them? Yeah, well, that's how we feel about control. We love it. And we just want control over everyone and everything. Think about it this way. Have you ever been in a relationship with a really controlling person? You know how awful that can feel? So you can imagine how much better it feels to be the person who's doing the controlling in the relationship. So that's what we're trying to do in our relationship with everybody. We love being in control. It feels so good to us. That's why we make up rules to protect people. They clearly don't, because they're not designed to protect people. They're engineered to give us control over people. Like a 10 p.m. curfew? Think about that. I can assure you that one's not because COVID's nocturnal. Do you know what the feeling's like knowing everyone's putting on a mask to cover their identity just to go into a store? And we're not even there, but they're doing it anyway. That's how much control we have over them. It's intoxicating. Some say it's kind of like playing God, but not true. It is playing God. In fact, it's actually more than playing God, because God doesn't control people. He gives them free will. We do control people, so.
Yeah, that's what it's all about right there. Fastest 15 is coming up next.